How about if we pray? It's always good, isn't it? Now, loving Father and Heavenly God, we do bless you. We do bless you that we are who you say we are. And then you are making us who you say we are. That you have not given up on us, that your grace is sufficient. Your grace and your mercy are new every morning. So will you come now, would you speak to our hearts? We are a needy people. Your word teaches us that you send the full away empty, but the empty you send away full. And we want to be those who come before you today just empty, saying, Lord, speak, your servant hears. And as you speak, we know we are changed and transformed. So in advance, we thank you, we bless you. Holy Spirit, come. Come, you are welcome in this place. Come. We reverence your presence. You are an awesome God. And you teach us that you only do wondrous things. So this morning you want to do something wondrous in our life. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. We finish at?
We've got half an hour-ish.
Half an hour-ish. Good. Right. So could you put those lights on then, ish, please, so I can see what I'm doing. So I've got to be quick.
Yeah.
Trouble with me, when I try to be quick, I trip over my tongue, you know. I start speaking in tongues, so just bear with me. But
well, I said ish.
I would say, by way of introduction, really, I want to say something to you that God has spoken to my heart probably over the last month or so now. And it's caused me to be really questioning why I come to church. I come to church as a good habit. Do not forsake the gathering together as is the custom of some, as the habit of some. Good habit. It's something you should do. Sunday morning, I go to church. Sunday morning, I sing praises and, you know, whoop, whoop, I enjoy it. And I listen to the word, and lovely, and then I go out, have a cup of coffee, do a bit of handshaking, and everything's wonderful in the world. The danger with that is, you see, who came out this house this morning, come to this house this morning thinking God could speak a word that would radically impact my life and I would be changed? Or have you just come to hear Ken preach? No, seriously. I'm every third week. So if you stay away, I'll know why. But I just believe the Lord spoke to my heart and said this, Ken. You come to church, but do you expect me to speak and to be changed or to be healed or be delivered or something that would direct my life, or am I just come to hear the word? And I think this is the danger. It really is. And it's just made me, I've actually sort of just come to this morning, Lord, I'm sorry for the times I've come to church just to do church, to hear preaching, but not with a heart that's prepared to hear the word, not ready, suddenly something's going to happen and I am going to be changed. So this morning, that's my challenge for me, for you, and Lord, I want every time, it's taken me back a couple of places. One is, who's old enough to remember when you came to church, the saints would sit down and just bow their head and prepare their hearts to hear the word, to receive from God, to prepare the soil. I'm going to preach on the parable of the sower. To prepare the soil. They wanted God to speak and his word to impact. That's one. The other one is this. I used to have a lovely woman in the church, just glorious woman. Her name was Tony Samuels. You won't know her. She came from Antigua. She was a beautiful lady. And she would come to church and go flying off straight after church. And eventually, you know, I grabbed her and I said, and she was such a lovely woman, just committed to the church, committed to the work, just committed to Val and I. And just a good woman. Her and her husband. And I pulled her one Sunday and said, sister, why don't you stay for fellowship? She said this, I don't want to lose the word. She would go home and pray into what she had heard. I think the danger for you and I is that, really. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't fellowship. I'm not saying we shouldn't have a cup of tea. But when you go home then, think about what you've heard. And plant that seed in your heart. So that's, and then I was reading, for those of you who like it, it's Moffat's translation of the Bible. I was reading about Mr. Moffat. And he said exactly the same. He had a couple in his church. He used to fly off straight after and he pulled them. Exactly the same answer. Don't want to lose the word. So that's the introduction. For those of you who struggle with these things, we're going to Mark 4. Now in Mark 4, around about verse 24, Jesus says this. He says, be careful what you hear. Yeah? But in Luke chapter 8, he puts it different. He says, be careful how you hear. So what you hear, but also how you hear. Next confession. I've been preaching for a lot of years. I don't think I've ever preached, well, very rarely preach on parable of the sower. But when we do, you do it in a Bible study or you do it in a conversation, four sorts of soil. Hard heart, shallow heart, cluttered heart, fruitful heart. Easy to remember. And I've always used that for sinners who come to the house of God. Really? There's someone with calm and have a hard heart, and the word wouldn't find a place. I'm going to say it's just as true for the saints. And this is what God has spoken to me, really. It's just as easy for me to come to the house of the Lord with a hard heart that's unprepared, a shallow heart, a cluttered heart, but occasionally, very rarely maybe, a fruitful heart that the word would find access and bear fruit in our life. Mark chapter 4, around about verse 4, parable where it says this. A sower went out to sow. Explain this to his disciples later on. He says, the sower sows the word. And this morning I am here to sow the word. I'm not here to tickle your ears and make you laugh. Maybe we will occasionally. But in the end of the day, God has spoken to me and said, Ken, you are sowing good seed. And if it can find the right ground, it will bear fruit. I said to you just now, I've just been away for a week in a Bible school teaching teenagers, young people. And if you stood up and said, Mary had a little lamb, hallelujah, they'd be shouting, you know. They were just excited about God. But we need to be those who said, Lord, speak, your servant hears. Amen. For the entrance of your word, Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of your word brings light. Lord, I need light. Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent a word and healed them and delivered them. Lord, I need to be healed and delivered. There's enough Bible to say to you, you and I, if we come to this house and come with a heart that is prepared, God can send the word and we can be radically changed. D.L. Moody, one of the famous evangelists, went to church one day and a man stood up and said this. It wasn't even scripture, which I can make it fit if you want it. He said, the world has not seen what God could do with a man who's truly yielded to him. And D.L. Moody said, I will be that man. Just a word, just a word, just a word. That's all we need. We don't need a sentence, we don't need a paragraph, we don't need a chapter, we just need a word. That's by way of introduction. You alright so far? Are you with me? Because I'm going to make, listen to this, New Century Version. Back to that, sow the seed, sow the word. A farmer is like a person who plants God's message in people. God, wouldn't that be good if today I could just plant God's message in our hearts? Oh, Brother Stroud, we need a prophet. You put on a say a prophet's coming to the house, you pack the place. Oh, God's going to speak to my heart. Do you know, God speaks to our heart again and again and again and again. And he speaks from this sacred spot every Sunday morning. If someone picks up a Bible and just says a word of scripture, that's enough. Hebrews 4 and 12, is it? 4 and 16. 12. His word is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, to make a division between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, to expose the secret thoughts and intents of our heart. It's alive and active. This is the very word of God given to us that we might hear his voice.
Thank you, Lord.
And how flippantly we sit there Sunday mornings. Just let it roll over us. And then we do the dutiful thing, don't we? Good word, brother. Walk out, forget every word, every bit of it. It was that good, I forgot it. Is that good? It hadn't impacted my life at all. Better get on. So first thing you're going to know, the sower sows the seed. Observation number one, no seed, no harvest. If you don't read your Bible, no seed, no harvest. You want to grow in holiness? Read your Bible, it'll speak to you about holiness. You want to grow in love? Read your Bible, you'll grow in love. You want to grow in mercy? Read your Bible, you'll grow in mercy. But no seed, no harvest. That explains why many of us get stuck. When we first saved, we were in here, it was a gold mine, wasn't it? It was wealth. And we made such growth, and then suddenly we stopped. I'm going to tell you something now that's going to really surprise you. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not by someone slapping a hand on your head, "Oh pastor, I want more faith." Read your Bible. Simple as that. You can listen to as much praise and worship as you like. You can shout hallelujah, whoo, as much as you like. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says this, that without faith it is impossible to please God. Get the tape. If you can't keep up, get the tape. I'm resolved. I'm going to start taking notes again when I come to church. God spoke to me on this very thing. Can you? You're too flippant when you hear the word of God. That's just for me. You don't have to do that. Well, not a bad idea. Second observation. Life is in the seed. I was going to put wellies on just to go prove my point. Life is in the seed. Not profound, not deep. You go get a number of observations before I get to preach for you. Jesus put it like this: the words, John 6 and 63, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. How do they produce life? Because there's life in them. You hear a word about joy, and as that word finds a place in our heart, it bears the fruit of joy. No fruit, no seed, no harvest. That's why some people are so miserable in the house of God. Sucking lemons. How you doing? All right. Under the circumstances. Get out from under the circumstances. Change your circumstances by faith, by the word of God. Good day, isn't it? It ain't over yet. You think, "Oh, sorry, I said hello." Come on. You go to a person, you're full of joy, the Lord, "How are you doing? Great." By the time they're finished with you, you think, "I'm going to go and hang myself." Anyway, Isaiah 55:11 says this, "And so it is with my word that proceeds from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that for which it was sent, and prosper, do well therein." God sends a word, don't forget, and it's his intention for it to do well. When someone stands up here, it's Fred again. No, once he gets to this little book and starts telling you this little book, God can speak to our heart. I heard a story once about a Jewish man went to church. Yeah, he didn't have faith at all. And all of a sudden, someone starts reading the genealogies. And they're all begetting, aren't they? Fred begat Mary, and Mary begat John, and John begat Harry, and they're all begetting all the time. That's all they had to do. They were begetting all over the place. And he turned around and said, "Now I know Jesus was a real man, because he had family." See, even in the begetting, the man begot and was born again. It's the word of God. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for correction and admonishment of the man of God, being fully equipped for it. And that sounds like that. Anyway, it's inspired, it's God breathed. All scripture. Who is it? Someone, they said it, Billy Graham or someone. Do you believe the Bible? It's inspired by God. He said, if they told me the maps were inspired by God, I would believe it. We need to come to the place where we say, this is God's word to me. Feed me, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Give me this day my daily bread. Give me this day my daily bread. Warburtons. Oh, I better stop and I better get back to preaching. So, first one. No seed, no harvest. Second one. The life is in the seed. If you want to get healing, find all the scriptures you can on healing. Ponder on them, speak them, recite them to yourself, confess them until they become part of your very fabric. That the God of heaven, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it and will he not do it? Has he spoken it and shall it not come to pass? Just get that word. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. My circumstances must be a lie. My condition must be a lie. My lack must be a lie. My whatever must be a lie. Because God said, God can, God said. Until we come to a place where we know that we know that we know that we know, and the truth that is higher. I've got to preach about. John 17 and 17 says this. Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. There is a higher truth than what you see. There is a higher truth than what you feel. There is a higher truth than your circumstances. There is a higher truth than your condition. And that is the word of God. Why? Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will not always pass away. Forever, O Lord, thy word is established in the heavens. Back to the preaching. Third one, the seed produces after its kind. I'll give you one from Proverbs 18. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I don't know if I agree. That's not my problem. You tell God. I'll just give you a scripture. Proverbs 18. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Those of you who struggle, Proverbs 18 and 21. Is the law of Genesis. Tell God he got it wrong. In Genesis chapter 8 and around about verse 21, God said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. That's right, man. And each will have its own fruit in it. That's why sheep produce sheep. I'm very profound, am I really? They produce after their kind. What else have we got? Oh, I'll give you a scripture. Psalm 107 and verse 20 says this. He sent the word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Ready? God planted the seed of what? Healing and deliverance. What did it produce? Healing and deliverance. Because it produced after its kind. Now, I'm going to talk about bucket mouth in a minute. I'll come back to bucket mouth. How people dig up the seed with their mouth. Oh, I believe in God for a healing, but I don't think it's going to happen. Well, guess what? According to your faith, be unto you.
Oh, I'm believing God for a financial breakthrough. What financial seeds have you sown? Everyone wants to harvest, no one wants seed time. Better get back to the Bible, isn't it? Oh, the seed needs to go through the process. Remember Jesus, speaking of himself, said, unless the seed fall in the ground and die, and abideth alone, but then it comes up and bears much fruit. Sometimes your seed has got to go through the process. But I sowed a financial gift on Wednesday, it's Thursday now, and it ain't happened. It will. Because the process works. Seed time, harvest. Seed time, harvest. By the way, not harvest, seed time. Seed time, harvest. You sow the seed, harvest follows. And then if you're a wise person, out of that harvest, you sow the seed so the harvest can follow. And then you sow the seed so the harvest can follow. Cast your bread upon the waters and it shall return to you not many days hence. Keep sowing, keep sowing. Why? Because I want a continual harvest. In whatever area. I don't know if I agree. Good. To receive mercy, you must show mercy. To be forgiven, you must. Well, some more. I could go on, but time will not allow me. You show mercy, you'll receive mercy. Now, from this, what about this one? I ain't got no friends. He who would have friends must show himself to be friendly. Sow the seeds of friendship, and guess what? Trouble with some people, they are such grinches that it's no wonder they ain't got no friends. Nobody ever rings me. Who did you ring? No, you know, seed time, harvest. Seed time, harvest. It is a universal rule, one set by God. As long as the earth remains, there's one for you, seed time and harvest. Where are we up to? Go through our next one. Oh. I've skipped over that one. The process originated with God. The next one is this. The process requires patience. Not patience. Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Yeah. Daniel chapter 2 verse about 21 says this. That God sets the times and the seasons. God changes the times and the seasons. I'm trying to think of a fruit that we can't buy that ain't genetically modified. But you know, really, when do you buy proper strawberries? Not them insipid things that taste like cardboard. But proper strawberries. I don't know, when is it? Like, probably March, April time onwards.
July.
I told you when it's March. When is it? I don't know. July. So really, why am I getting good strawberries now? Because they're not in season. God changes the times and the seasons. I don't know if I agree. Not in this church. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 2 says this. There is a time to sow and there is a time to reap. I still don't know if I agree. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Bible says. James chapter 5 and verse 7. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit. He knows the process works. The farmer don't get up in the morning, look at the ground and say, well, I sowed this yesterday, where is it? Back to bucket mouth now. He don't dig it up to see why it ain't working. He trusts the process because the process started with God. Two and two make seven, seven. I don't know if I agree. What about this one? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. In due season you shall reap. If you do not lose heart, if you faint not. In due season, Paul said, you shall. Oh, it's also the same Proverbs said, be not deceived, whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. Why? Because the seed will reproduce after its kind. You ever had, not in this church, you ever been in church where you've had them people just run up their mouth and say all sorts of uglies and think they can get away with it? Be not deceived. God is not that. Not whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. You know the world saying? It's not in the Bible. With K, Sera, Sera. That's not in the Bible either. But whatever goes around, whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. I've got another one here as well. I'm doing well. 115. We're going to do that. Need for constant sowing. Ecclesiastes. All together now. Ecclesiastes, chapter 11 and verse 6, and verse 4 is worth remembering as well. It says, sow your seed in the morning, and do not withhold your hand from sowing in the evening. For you do not know which one will prosper, this one or that one, or both of them. You just keep on sowing. I tried that once and it didn't work. We've not got time for this sort of stuff, have we? Oh, and the last one, before I get to the parable of the sower, I've got about 8 minutes. It says this. It's a good one. Oh, yeah. 2 Corinthians 6 and 9 says this. What's it say? I know what it says. Of course I do. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. You determine the size of the harvest. Don't like that one, do you? I've got a good one for you though. And it's another one. It says this. You determine the size of the harvest. But the principle says you usually get back more. Generally, I bet you some are saying, well, if you sow alliums, you only get one allium. In fact, you don't have multiple. But if, you know what I mean, if someone, if you come to someone in the congregation who picks a seed, you only get one back if you sow one. But anyway, generally, the word goes like this. You sow your seed, it comes back 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That's what Jesus said, so don't mark it again. Or, I've got a few more of them I thought about this morning. Where was it? What about this one? Jesus said, you get more for your money, bigger bucks for your money, yeah? Jesus said this, think of the mustard seed. Being the smallest of all seeds, when it is sown, it becomes the biggest of the herbs and turns into a tree, and the birds of the air come and nest in it, and the animals underneath get shade. That's what Jesus said, not Ken. And those of you who don't like it, I'll give you one to really upset you. Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, it always comes out bigger. Sow the wind, reap the whirlwind. It always comes back bigger. I tell you, you get bigger bang for your bucks. It's what you see, you get more back. The parable of the sower. So Jesus said, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, the seed fell by the highway. The path, the road. Hard, compacted. I'll tell you what, God taught me a lesson about this. You think you know scripture, but you don't. This is Mark 15, 4 and verse 15. These are the ones that are sown by the wayside. Satan comes immediately and, listen, takes away the word that was sown in their heart. You see, we usually say that the ground is so compacted that the word couldn't go in. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says, comes and takes away the seed that was in their heart. And this is the message for today. The trouble is, if we do not cover that seed, Satan comes and takes it. If we do not somehow by faith say, speak, Lord, and then hear that word and say, now I have heard the word of God, I want to go on, I want to pray about this, I want to act on this, I want this to be a living word to me. That's why you and I so often are not hearing a great word. I've been to some great preachers. Heard some brilliant word. What did he say, Ken? I don't know.
It was good, man.
Oh, it's good. Great meeting. Thank you, Brian. Bless. Because we've not covered that word. We've not taken that word in. We used to have a lovely couple in our church, and he used to use this word, imbibed. Now, it's not a word I use because I'm not clever enough. But it actually means to kind of take it in. We need to imbibe the word of God. We need to make it part of us. So I've heard God today, and I want to be changed. I don't want to stay the same as I am. Great praise and worship. I've been blessed. But if we stop there, we're not going to be changed. We're just going to be blessed. A few scriptures for you, in case I haven't given you a few already. See, the trouble is, Jesus went to Nazareth. This one is one of the saddest scriptures. Jesus went to Nazareth, his hometown, and he could do no mighty works. Now listen to me. Throughout scripture, wherever Jesus turns up, God's power is present to him. But he says in this instance, he could do no mighty works there. Why? Well, he knows. You've heard that word before.
Yeah.
In fact, I've heard that word preached about. In fact, I wonder what the Greek actually comes from. I wonder that. Oh, Ken's got terrible accent. Look where he's come from. What is it? And before we know where we are, we've become so familiar that God's word cannot do what God said it to do. And that's what God spoke to my heart. I'm frustrated. Listen to this one. They limited it, speaking to the people of God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. How can you limit God? By setting boundaries. How can you limit God? They limited the Holy One of Israel. You want scripture for that? I'll take it, do you? Psalm 78, 11. I'm going to need to move on. The shallow one. See, now we've got a shallow heart, the rocks. This is the one that was sown amongst the rocks. Immediately, springs up, does really well. But when tribulation and persecution come on account of the word, it moves on. The one of the other translations puts it like this. It says, Message Bible. We're not even going to go there. What is the other translation? New Living Translation. Shallow soil, underlying rocks. There are things in my life, hurts, disappointments, failings, whatever. And the word comes, Andrew stands up Sunday morning, today I want to preach about whatsoever sins you forgive are forgiven, and whatever sins you retain. And you'll start, ooh, yes, thank you, brother. Ooh, bless God. But now, really, to be forgiven, you've got to forgive. And suddenly the word hits a rock. We're talking about saints now. Forget the sinners. We're talking about saints in the house. He stands up and gives a message on tithing. You see, I'm a visiting speaker, so I can speak on these things. Stands up and gives a message on tithing. There's Old Testament, there's no biblical, and off we go. Have a little seizure. It hits a rock. Forgive to be forgiven. If you knew how they treated me, why should I forgive them? When they come to me grovelling, snivelling, horribling, I'll forgive them then. That's not quite. The cluttered ground. And I love it. When you get to a big church, you all got their phones out.
And they'll go like this. You know, mate, we could have scripture, but check it out.
Yeah,
holding the lunch.
Deliveroo. Oh, look what we've got for dinner. See, the cluttered heart is so easy, isn't it? Deceitfulness of riches, the love of other things, the cares of this present world. Sweet hour of prayer. I've got 4 minutes. If we're not careful, we come to the house of God and our mind is here, there and everywhere. And the word of God is just amongst the other cares of this life, rather than becoming the solution to our problem. Glad I'm coming because you love me. I'm worse in some places, I'm worse. But look at that. The last one is this. When the word finds an entrance, when it finds soil, it will produce. It cannot fail to produce. Because the life is in the seed. Let me tell you something. I've been ministering now for 2 years. Besides, prior to that, it's various bits of people in ministry. And I'll tell you a lesson on that. Converts who are raised on the word will cry. And only such a thing. Put in one scripture that's concerning men in our clothes. You know? You said ish. A minute over.
Amos.
Look it up. See, you can cheat with an electronic device. Those of you, see, again, you don't hear the rustling in the mulberry trees. People don't bring their Bible to work. We went to a wedding once and got upbraided because we hadn't brought our Bibles. Yeah, the guy told us all off. You come to hear the word of God. Where's your Bible? You wouldn't hear that nowadays, would you? The rustling in the mulberry trees. Those old Pentecostal people. Oh, Amos chapter 8 and verse 11 says this. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine. That it will give you what you want. I will send a famine. Not for bread and not for water, but for, what's it say, Andrew? What's it say? What's the menu say? What's the menu say?
And I will send hunger over the land.
Yeah, go on, keep going.
Not hunger for bread or thirst for water, but rather hunger for hearing the words of the Lord.
I'll tell you what, there is a famine in the land for hearing the word of the Lord.
I go to some churches and they'll tell me, Mary, a little lamb. And they'll tell me Baba Black Sheep, and they'll tell me this illustration and that story, and how I can do well, everything else, what a nice person I am, what a great person I am. They might tell me the word. And Romans 10:17 says, clear, there's only one way for you to go, it's enough. Faith comes.
Shall we pop?